Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, March 14th. We are glad you are here, and we are glad to get to talk some wrestling. Before we get started, this is one of those very rare times that we are going head-to-head with WWE SmackDown. It is just like World's End. They want to see how they can do against us, so... Guys, do us a favor. If you're in chat, please do not post any SmackDown spoilers if you're by chance watching both shows. Because we know some people will watch later this evening. Some, you know, so just do us a favor. No SmackDown spoilers. That's all we really ask. And yeah.
But thank you. Good luck.
That's it. That's our show. Just no SmackDown spoilers. Just want to say thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We got a lot that we're going to talk about. But as I start every show, Maggie, how the hell are you today?
Mixed with emotions. But that's it wouldn't
nothing
be
new, right?
Nothing new. It wouldn't be me if I weren't. I talked earlier to you, our friend Doc, and Corey. I almost cut off my pinky today. It looks adorable right now. But it almost fell off. I crap you not, because listen. I understand that it's your responsibility if you're a bartender, if you break a shot glass in your sink to just clean it. Correct? I'm not the crazy one here, right? Okay. Correct, so Amanda. my colleagues never do. And when I work the day shift. And I clean the sink because I'm one of the few people who actually cleans the sink. And the sink is dark. It's almost black. And I do not see anything that's... So I start cleaning it and my pinky goes straight into a broken shot glass.
What the hell?
But straight into it. It was really aggressive. And it's happened before. Because this is happening consistently, because consistently my coworkers refuse to clean the sink. And it's happened.
I'd be losing my shit,
Learned to pick my battles, because I've told them at least 500 times this year, and it's March, to clean their broken glasses from the sink, just because... If someone doesn't know that there's broken glass, they're going to cut themselves. So always happens.
I would keep some of that glass for the person that closed the night before.
And, yeah. I learned to pick my battles, and that sucks. So
and just
it's a
Tony Storm and
Ryan May can,
match. There you go. Hit them right there.
Wrestling related. And... So it was really painful. Again, this has happened many, many times before, but it was never this painful, because it was really hardcore into the glass. And I immediately grabbed my finger just so I can stop you know, the bleeding. And then I want to see how deep the wound is. And I just let go of the finger and it's blood all down my arm. And I'm like, okay, it's really deep. And then I started, you know, bandaging and stuff. I was like this for like an hour with my pinky. It was really uncomfortable. But the mixed emotions, you wanted to say something before?
No, I just think you should use that glass.
Murder someone, yes.
Well, just like punch them in the, depending on what, it doesn't matter what part they have, just like right up there. Like either, right up. Yeah. They can
the mixed emotions
have a ripped hole one way or another.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. I can do that tomorrow. Now that I have your blessing and everything.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So the weird mixed emotions is from the fact that, guys, I don't know if you noticed, but I'm a girl.
What the hell?
What? Fightful Select can report. Yes, I am a girl, and we just had a Sephora opened in my hometown. And I've never been to a Sephora. I just hear about Sephora from, you know, women from, you know, Western women and everything. And I have no idea what that is. So Sephora opened last Wednesday. And I'm like, I'm sure as hell not going to the opening because it's going to be a murder show. And it was just that. You know, there was a traffic jam in the mall from people who wanted to enter, you know, the store. So I was like, I'm going to go next week. So on a Wednesday, I had an extremely girly day. I watched NXT with my coffee. I did my workout. And then I hopped on a bus and went to Sephora, which is way, you know, into, you know, the whole different type of neighborhood in my city. So I went to Sephora and it was smaller than I expected, but everything was really smooth together.
I've heard that before, but go ahead.
You jerk.
I just did set me up, so go ahead.
I know, like that, it was right there. It's my fault. So the thing is, I went on a Wednesday at 2 in the afternoon. So naturally, the store was jam-packed with teenage girls who smelled like sweat. And they used all of the testers from the perfumes and it smelled like a migraine. Mm-hmm. You know, sweat and perfume. Yes, and all sorts of perfume, like all of it. And it was a really, really weird experience. But I went to the store to check out Fenty because it's Rihanna's, the you know, thing. And my...
Does it come with a free umbrella?
I wish there were zero umbrellas because it is spring right now. It's spring outside. You guys can see I'm wearing short sleeves and next week will be snowing. So weird weather. So we finally have a Sephora. I'm a girly girl. I bought some Fenty stuff and my perfume, my favorite perfume of Kayali Vanilla 28. It's finally in my hometown. And I have mixed feelings about it because it's good that it's here and I no longer need to order it from fucking France. That's good. Yes, that's good. But now the entire city will smell like me and I was unique before that. And now I'm just a regular person and I'm just kind of pissed off. But guys, hi, this is a wrestling show. FYI, please. Send us all your super chat just so I can afford Kayali Vanilla 28 because it's really fucking goddamn expensive. But it's really worth it because I smell like a cupcake. yes, please leave a like on the video. We appreciate you a ton. Please share this podcast on all social media whenever you see it streaming live on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it. Please share it. Please send us a super chat at the bottom of the YouTube live chat, the little dollar sign. And if you're watching on any other platforms apart from YouTube, you can set a Humper Chat at humperchats.com. Any amount will get your question or statement read live on the air. Please subscribe to Fightful Overbooked, the Oh, no, I meant Fightful Select. Yeah, subscribe to our Fightful Overbook here, this very channel. A lot of amazing shows. My personal favorite, The Spotlight and Wrestling Made Me Cry. Adorable, adorable shows. So please also subscribe to Fightful Select, the easiest $6 that you're ever going to spend on wrestling news. A lot of scoops, a lot of contract news, a lot of rumor killers from Corey and Sean. And we can get to talking about on the show, yeah? Yeah.
Do you know what my favorite cologne is?
Your favorite colon?
Cologne. Oh! My favorite colon is mine, but...
Your very own. So yeah. Your favorite cologne, what is it? Oh, my God.
It's none other than Sex Panther.
Is this a real thing, or are you pranking me?
Sex Panther. 60% of the time, it works every time.
I don't get it. Is this a bit?
Yeah, it's from Anchorman.
Oh, well, see, I've watched it like 1,000 years ago, and I don't remember anything. I'm sorry for my ignorance.
That's okay. No, it's
about the Anchorman.
No, it's mainly me trying to pop myself, so there you go.
With your colon? Yes.
Yeah, well...
So this entire time while I was talking about KLE28 Vanilla, you were Googling that image and uploading it on stream. Yeah, okay. Yep. So
exactly. All right. Well, Maggie, something that I know that you would maybe have interest in, because I know that you are a European football, a.k.a. here in the States, they call it soccer, fan. WWE and Fanatics announced today that they are coming out with some new titles that you can purchase. This one right here is a choke. Yeah, so this one right here is a Manchester City. What is your football squad?
West Ham United.
Oh, okay. So the one I didn't download. Gotcha. I knew it was something like.
But do they have that?
Yeah, they do. I'm gonna grab that.
Yes. So I bet they have Liverpool and Manchester United.
Yeah. So,
but of all the football belts, you show the Chelsea and Manchester City one. Kudos.
Because I couldn't remember which one you liked, and I know those two are pretty popular, so cut me some slack here.
Chelsea and Manchester City. Those are the two. The two belts that you thought were most popular. So you
that, didn't I mean, show... the. Yeah,
you didn't show the Liverpool, which are number one on the rankings right now.
I don't know if I saw Liverpool like photo.
There's no way there's no Liverpool belt.
There probably assholes, is.
Those assholes will always have a belt. We love you, Bonkers, our fan, Bonkers in the chat. He's a Liverpool fan, so we love you, sweetie. But I have a long-standing feud with Liverpool, and not because they have a thing with West Ham or anything. It's not because of that. West Ham suck. That's why I suffer in silence, because, you know, it's like that. It's because, oh, there you go. What a wonderful belt. Someone buy that for me, please. Yeah, so it's because my boss is a Liverpool fan. And every time Liverpool play, I just root for the other team. I don't care who it is. I don't even care if it's Millwall or anything. I just root for the other team, because it's really frustrating how amazing they always win, man. I don't get that. I don't get it. Like, they'll be playing defense for 85 minutes of the entire match, and the other team.
I don't know how to get rid of this. Oh, there we go.
Thank you for showing the Cooper effect, you know, photo. Yeah, so Liverpool are going to play 95% of the match in defense, and the other team will have fucking 35 chances of scoring a goal and shots at the goal, and at the last 5 minutes, Liverpool will have one opportunity, and they're going to score it, and they're going to win the match like 2-0 or 1-0. And it fucking sucks. Yes, this is a wrestling show, guys.
Yeah, let's get to wrestling. Maggie, what did you think about AEW Revolution last weekend?
Sex. Orgy. All of the above. Listen, I've mentioned this before on the show. The bar is really high when it comes to Revolution pay-per-views
because we are the bar.
Revolution is the bar. When it comes to Revolution pay-per-views, I feel like all of them are my favorite. Revolution as a whole, the first ever Revolution, I don't know if you remember this, but the first ever Revolution had the 11 out of 6 stars Pac versus Orange Cassidy and Young Bucks versus Kenny and Hangman. Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like those matches were on the first ever Revolution card. Please correct me if I'm wrong. This is what's imprinted in my mind when it comes to those two wrestling matches. And again, the bar is really high when it comes to those pay-per-views, but somehow every year they manage to deliver. I love the Revolution pay-per-view. For me, the matches that I hated, and I was really clear on that, they were kind of like they gave me breathing room, but I had zero breathing room between Kenny and Takeshita and Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher. Thank you for that. You sickos. One after the other. It's the stupidest thing ever. Yes, thank you, Doug. The Doug sent a super chat saying, stopped in to say hi, going back to sleep. Thank you, Doc, so much. Please go back to sleep. Guys, Chris interviewed Speedball Mike Bailey like hours ago. And he shared some thoughts on the interview. I'm not going to say anything. But I cannot wait to listen to that pay-per-view. Rob, are you looking forward to it? The interview, not the pay-per-view. Are you looking forward to that interview?
Yeah. I had no idea he was interviewing, but I always like listening to Chris's interviews or reading Chris's interviews if there's not audio form. So I always like Chris's interviews. So yeah, that sounds cool. Good.
Every time I get a chance to listen to his interviews, I always do because I always prefer. Plus,
you like his voice.
You get to hear Chris's voice, and I love listening to his interviews while I'm running errands on a Wednesday. That's my absolutely favorite thing. So the thing I had to do after watching Revolution is go to work.
Oh.
Not that
I'm gonna say fix your washing machine.
Yeah, no. it was fine. But because I'm always looking forward to pay-per-views that are on a Sunday, because I get to watch those pay-per-views every Monday when I wake up with my coffee and I get to, you know, go to work afterwards. As opposed to, you know, me watching really, really early on a Sunday morning before I get to go to work because I work the day shift on a Sunday. Yep. So I had to. It's a double-edged sword. I mean, you get to, but I'll go to work either way. I get to experience the entire pay-per-view without changing the speed in which I watch it, which is the deal when I'm watching it on Sunday. I get to fully experience the show. I get to pause, take notes and everything, as opposed to taking notes really quickly while watching with the other eye and everything. It's a different experience when I have to hurry for work. That's all I'm saying. So I took it in entirely as a pay-per-view, and it was so good, and I loved it. I was still buzzing from Revolution on Tuesday when I was watching Raws, and that took away from my Raw experience. We're going to talk about that later. But then I had to do my workout, take a shower, and then I had to go to work, and I mentioned this on social media. I had to go to work and talk to people who do not watch wrestling and have no idea that I watch wrestling. I hope you understand how hard that is, because especially when you have such a wonderful pay-per-view you just watched, it's like me going to work after watching WrestleMania. That is the same thing. Or Royal Rumble or SummerSlam. It is so infuriating and I hate it. That's why I take Sunday off WrestleMania season, because I need to watch WrestleMania in peace. That's it. And oh man, was it a hard shift? Because I just wanted to tell me what you thought of the pay-per-view, and then we'll go deeper into it.
Yeah. Well, I thought from the start of the actual pay-per-view, not 0 hours. 0 hour did really nothing for me.
Yeah, we did not. No.
Yeah. So from the start of the pay-per-view to the end, I thought it was really damn good. Well, let me rephrase that. To the end of the, I can't remember, was Ospreay first or was Omega first? Which match was first?
Kenny Omega, Takeshita, and then okay. Kyle Fletcher. And,
yeah. So pretty much from the beginning to the Kyle Fletcher, Will Ospreay match. Great show. And then the ending happened.
The ending, yes. Yes. Okay. That was my only, please talk about the ending.
That was my only issue with the show. The ending was bad. Do I think it was as bad as some people are making it out to be? Yes, I do.
Oh!
Yeah. It wasn't good at all. I would have preferred that they just do the Damian Priest thing, like, you know, where he's going to cash it, but something happens and he doesn't get to, you know, like where they did that over and over with Christian. I didn't think he should have been able to cash. I wish he wouldn't have cashed it in the way he did and lose. But because of that, the way they did it, they are now setting it up for Christian, or excuse me, Cope and Moxley to have a rematch this Wednesday, a street fight in Omaha.
Of all the rematches from that entire Revolution card, they picked the one that no one cared about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is their chance to redo it, so hopefully they go all out, because, you know, they those guys know that they hear, they might say that they don't go online and shit, but they hear, like, the reception, you know, and
yeah, but I would like to think that if they were actually as online as people thought that they are, they would have made the Toni Storm and Mariah May match the closing match.
Well, no, I'm talking about like Cope and okay. Moxley. Like, I think they know that their match
sucked. Yes.
Yeah, I think they got the vibe. I could be completely wrong. I'm just going with what I think. I just thought the ending was not good. I really, you end a amazing pay-per-view like that with a thud. It was very disappointing. There's really nothing more you can say other than it was disappointing ending. And you're right. In hindsight, I think if they could go over and do it again, I think Toni Storm and Mariah May would have been the main event. I mean, that's not like in hindsight, or even like Omega Takeshita, or Omega Takeshita could have been the main event, or I mean, Ospreay and Fletcher, like any of those matches could have been the main event. Like if you go back in hindsight, but you know, it is what it is. And I hate using that term, but it's a live and learn situation. I think this Death Riders thing has gone on way too long, this title. And in a way I'm hoping it gets solved this Wednesday. Really. I really hope so. Maybe Moxley will finally go fishing. Who knows?
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. 3 years later. No, but,
yeah. Yeah. So what Rob, is bitching about is the same thing that I'm bitching about, was the fact that, you know, the main event was okay. It was a perfectly fine match between Copeland and Moxley. By perfectly fine, I meant the best thing you can pull out of the combination of the two. And then what happened was So Copeland speared Moxley about two or three times, and he went for the pin, and then someone in the black hoodie pulled out the ref, and it turns out it's Christian. So Christian cashes in his contract, and the match turns into a three-way. But Moxley ends up choking out Christian. He didn't tap out, he passed out. Or, right? No.
He passed out.
Because, like, I couldn't remember. So Moxley retained, and what happened after was he got swerve stomped from the rafters, you know, from the crowd, because first Strickland previously in the pay-per-view beat Ricochet in the number one contenders match for the AEW championship. Wonderful match, wonderful story. Prince Nada was perfect, and Swerve Strickland kneeling before Prince Nada, presenting him with the robe, was something special, and I loved it. But it's thank you for that.
You're
but
welcome.
It and Ricochet and those two will always deliver. Like all of the matches apart from two matches on the card could have main evented, and they went with this one. I'm talking about Kurt Syndicate versus the Outrunners, which was there, and Okada versus Brody was a perfectly fine match. It had zero build. That's okay, not zero, but like 1 week worth of build. That's all of it, and the match was perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. Any other match on this card could have main evented. So the thing is that the match between Mariah May and Toni Storm, if women ever got the chance to main event on AEW pay-per-view, this was it. This was a match with 18 months worth of build. And if this doesn't main event your show, I don't know what does.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say that they're waiting for Mercedes Moné to headline a pay-per-view. And if they play their cards correct, and that's a big if, and if Mercedes ends up defending her TBS championship versus Athena at All in Texas, that's when you do it, because it's Athena, and that crowd will go fucking nuts for Athena winning the championship in the main event of All In. If they play their cards correctly. So there might be, because All In is a long way, and there's Double or Nothing before that. So there's a chance we get Mercedes Moné versus Athena at Double or Nothing, because they're doing the Mercedes and Billy Starks match next week, correct? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
And I suppose that this leads to a match against Athena, but you know what? I wouldn't mind if this match ends up being a title for title match, as long as Athena wins. As long as Athena wins. Athena should be the one to beat Mercedes Moné for that TBS championship.
I hate to burst your bubble here. I think there's less than 15% that Athena main events All In Texas.
Yeah, but I really want her to.
Oh, I think it'd be great. I'm just being a realist.
Just pushing for women to main event an AEW pay-per-view. Like, they've Dynamites. They've main evented Grand Slam, and that's awesome. That's a good stepping stone, but, like, let's kick it up a notch. And
yeah, I get it. I just didn't want you to get your, like, hopes up for that.
Oh, no, I'm perfectly, you know, I'm a realist. If the story's there and they make it count and people push for it, it may happen.
Yeah.
But
sure.
I'm not getting my hopes up before it actually, like, there's a long, long time again.
Until
we get to All In. Yeah. So the match between Mariah May and Toni Storm was an incredible, incredible special thing. And the match ending with a Storm Zero through a Hollywood table was a chef's kiss. And then Toni Storm just laying on top of Mariah May. I thought that she was going to hug her. She didn't. But she misses her already, and that's what she said on the post show. The match finished with the huge graphic of the end on the Titantron. Yeah. And tell me how this didn't main event the show.
I can't, because
this was the perfect match to end the show. And I, because like, let's say that in their eyes, the AEW championship should always main event the show. Yes. The AEW Women's Championship could have main evented the show. I understand their reasoning. And that's why they didn't have MJF versus Hangman to main event the show, which was a fucking slapper, man. The emotions throughout this match. Because MJF screaming in Hangman's face, why you and not me? What's so special about you? This is breaking my heart, because I just want to give MJF some chamomile tea and wrap him in a blanket. Because I know why he's acting the way he's acting, because he's just jealous. Like I mentioned on our show last week, he's always had this emotional match against people who were beloved by the fans of AEW. And this is his thing. And this was the exact same feeling I had watching Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay. Because they went through all this shit. Like the mega Oscutter from the cage. And mind you, this is commentary mentioned this, and they said that this was Will Ospreay's first cage match. And I couldn't believe it. Hmm. And as it turns out, it was Will Ospreay's first cage match. And so he made a story in the ring in which he has trouble with the cage, because the cage is limiting his moveset. And he told that story in the ring really well. And then he took his time, and then he climbed the cage and delivered a mega Oscutter, which was the thing of beauty. And then we got the Spanish fly from the top of the cage. And I screamed just a bit. But Kyle Fletcher was hoping that Will Ospreay would stop. He was pleading with him with the United Empire armband. Will Ospreay didn't quit. Like, he continued. He got a low blow for it, but that's a different issue. So at the end of the match, when Kyle Fletcher saw that the end was coming and he wasn't winning this match, he just started screaming, "I fucking hate you. I hate your guts. I fucking hate you." And I'm like, That is it. That's it. That's how you make that shit work. That's the emotion in which you hate that person so much, and you know you're gonna lose, and you just say how much you hate them to your face, and they just continue. It was a wonderful way to end that. I don't know if they actually end the feud or anything, but Will Ospreay did mention that he was entering the Owen Cup. He said that this was his way towards All In Texas. So I suppose that we're going to see where this goes. But MJF did lose to Hangman. But then he got confronted by MVP on this week's Dynamite. What did you think of that? Did you like the match between MJF and him?
Oh, hell yeah. That was a fantastic match. I loved it. And I liked their bit on Dynamite as well. They played it off really well. I'm anxious to see where this feud continues to go. I like both those guys. They're both really damn good. I'm more intrigued with Hangman as time goes on. His character is always just fascinating to me.
It is.
Because you can't really tell, like, I mean, he looks like a man who is just who has lost his way. And like I've talked about my life and I've gone through that. Granted, this is wrestling, but I see the way he looks and the I've had that like look where just it seems like everything's going wrong and you're trying to find like yourself type thing, you know? You're trying to get back to what's right or what's normal for you. And I just get that vibe watching him. So, and wrestling's always the way you, in my opinion, the way you interpret it, you know? That's the way I've always looked at wrestling. The way you see it is what makes it great. That's the way I've always looked at it. And that's what part of the emotion is when you see people. When you see people lose their shit, like, I mean, we remember when CM Punk came back and they show that one guy just tearing up or crying.
Crying,
And I
crying.
mean, that just shows the emotion like that guy had because there's so many people that have talked about how CM Punk like helped them when they were younger and stuff like that because of the like people are going to say things about you and you just have to like overcome that. Like, there's a lot of things that you look in wrestling and that's why a lot of people get like emotionally involved because it just means a lot to them. So, example, like when Cody won the title, there were so many people like behind him, and that's the way I've always looked at wrestling is as a it's a way you interpret it, and that's why I like MJF's or that's why I like Hangman so much. But I also love MJF because his character is always fascinating because. Why is he so pissed off? You know, like that's my thing. You know why? Like, you know, that's what I love about it. It's, I just, that's just what I enjoy, and I love both those characters. They're my two, probably two of my favorites, other than Osprey and Omega in AEW. They're and Swerve. Like, see, I have so many people that I absolutely love. I can't even rank them in order.
Yeah.
Like WWE, it's AJ. Like I can start there, but then after that, I can't rank them there either. But it's just what we call good shit, pal.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's so MVP told this incredible story on Dynamite how MJF like 20 years, no, not 20 years, like a long, long time ago. Yes, Brian, yes, Ospreay did have a cage match in 2017 and the War Games styles match in New Japan in 2014. Yes, he did. But like a one-on-one thing type stuff and shit. Like that's probably what commentary meant by that. So as I was saying, MVP told the story of MJF giving him a ride years ago just so he can pick his brain. And now MVP was here to offer his help to MJF because he what he said was, "How come you're not hurting people?" He told that he said that he lost his edge. And that people didn't fear him, and that's why he gave him his business card. MJF denied it at first. He was like, "I don't need your advice. I was an AEW champion." And MVP was like, "Yeah, you were AEW champion." And so MJF left with the card. This was all after they showed a footage of him after Revolution staring himself in the mirror. And he was like, "You're a fraud." And then he broke the mirror. That was so good. And then he came out as if nothing happened, like no one saw that footage. It's really, really, really fascinating. It's textbook. It's really textbook, but it's also fascinating.
Well, I mean, go ahead, sorry.
I love that whole dynamic. I mean, if you look at it from a psychological point of view, Hangman and MJF can feud forever if they continue with those characters. Because whatever Hangman, I mean, Hangman burned down the house, okay? He burned down a house and he's still beloved by the masses. And MJF will always be jealous of people like that. And he can be jealous of Swerve too, because Swerve did some pretty shady things too. And people still love the guy. I hope Swerve beats Moxley for that championship so we can, you know, at Revolution, you know, the past pay-per-view, at least the referee, you know, did that with the briefcase when he didn't even do that this time. He didn't even lift the briefcase. I mean, what's that championship look like anyway? I forgot.
It's going to have a spinner. It's going to be a spinner.
Shut your mouth. Everyone fucking adores the WWE spinner belt, and I fucking barf all over it. I hate it. I hate that belt. It's so cheesy, man.
I would say this. If, like, there are a lot of people that do hate it. And
I hate it with passion.
See, that's what, like, why Cena should bring it back after he beats Cody.
Yeah, listen, it makes sense for him to do that because people hate it so much. And I wouldn't be, I'll be really happy if I see that because I'm supposed to be booing the guy. And that's a perfect way for him to be. Or if he wants to, you know, rub some salt into the wound, he can be the one to bring back the Winged Eagle title.
It is. I can't hold it up, but yeah, it is. It's a Hartford Whalers shirt.
So what I loved was Christian Cage trying to make sense of everything that happened, because Christian Cage is a godsend. So what happened was Renee Paquette was interviewing Christian backstage.
Damn you, Corey.
Listen, Corey knows that he's gold when it comes to stuff like that, and somehow he always has a finger on the pulse. Yes, Cena should put the title belt in a briefcase after he beats Cody, not if, after he beats Cody. But we're gonna talk about that when we come closer to WrestleMania season. So as I was saying, Christian Cage, he's being interviewed by Renee Paquette backstage, and he was like, I refuse to be interviewed by anyone related to John Moxley. So this interview is about to be the most boring interview of all time. And tell me, why you hate Christian Cage? And I will tell you why you're wrong.
Oh, so, I can't, because I love him. I love him to death.
That was brilliant, man. And he was like, that stupid referee, I signed up for a one-on-one match against Copeland. Like, he wasn't even champion. What are you talking about? And he was like, he wrongfully made it into a triple threat. I did not agree to that, which is, I will smuggle you. Just, what are you talking about? So Nick Wayne is standing right next to him, and he's like, you're only making excuses. If you just followed the plan, you would be champion by now.
Ooh. Yeah.
I did not see that coming.
The little face turn coming, huh?
The little face turn coming. And so Christian got into Nick Wayne's face. Nick Wayne's mother, Mama Wayne, confronted.
Mama Roach, Mama Wayne.
Yes, she confronted Christian. But he was pretty mean to her. He said she should go back to, wait, what did he tell
being
her?
A waitress at a Waffle House.
Yeah, being a waitress at a Waffle House. Listen, sweetie, you would be happy if you had a waitress from Waffle House, because you would be able to get all the waffles you want with chocolate, ice cream, and Nutella. So if that was supposed to be an insult. So Nick Wayne is about to turn face. I can't wait to see what this is, because we got the smug face Nick Wayne, and he delivered that perfectly. He was really good. And now I can't wait to see a face Nick Wayne. And we will get a Nick Wayne and Darby Allin segment sooner or later when Darby Allin comes back. And this actually makes me excited for a Darby Allin return. Yep. Nick Wayne makes me excited about a Darby Allin return. And everyone fan of our show knows my opinion about Darby Allin.
I haven't said this yet, but somebody can, and I doubt he's listening, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to like Photoshop a photo of Sean like in the snow waiting for Darby on Mount Rushmore. Like just so he can like, I think it'd be funny. That's all. Like,
so he can have,
because the last person he'd, well, the last person he'd expect to see is the dirt sheets. And that's why I think it'd be funny just to put like,
oh yeah, of course. Like finally I'm so above everything in there, Sean.
Yep, and then just Sean's right there, like in the middle of it.
Yeah,
I just do it to pop myself, kind of like Jeremy's like Twitter. He puts Jeremy Lambert. He puts most of my tweets are. I'm getting this wrong, but he says most of my tweets are to pop myself, and that's pretty much what it comes down to.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Jeremy does not give a crap about wrestling Twitter, and he just does that. Finally, let's talk about Kenny and Takeshita. Oh. My God.
Hell of a match.
Hell of a match. So I think it's safe to say that Kenny Omega isn't going anywhere because he was borderline perfect in this match. They did a gut buster on the outside on the edge of a table. So listen, because the table was put in an upright position. In order for them to do the gutbuster, it needed to be turned on its side. And the audience booed Kenny Omega because he was the one to flip the table. And they were like, boo, we won the table, man. Just shut your mouth. How dare you boo Kenny Omega outside of New Japan while facing Gabe Kidd? That's the only way I will be okay with a booing of Kenny Omega. So the only awful thing here was that we got Don Callis on back-to-back matches on Revolution, so that sucked, kind of. An amazing, amazing match in which Kenny Omega didn't deliver the one winged angel to Takeshita, because I actually think that Takeshita will be the one to kick out of the one winged angel. For a long time, we thought that Hangman was going to be the one. But I love the fact that we actually still, in this day of age in wrestling, we still have a move that no one's kicked out of. You can make a case for Kota Ibushi, but his leg was just on the ropes, man, that he didn't kick out.
I say that technically counts as a kick out, though.
Okay, let's count it as a kick out. But one person kicking out of your move, and how many years has Kenny wrestled and used the one winged angel as a finisher? Like a lot.
69.
And that's nice. And that's such a rarity when it comes to wrestling that I adore that. So I actually think that Takeshita will be the one. He got pinned with a kind of a roll-up. I forgot what it was, but it wasn't a schoolboy roll-up. It was a wrestling pin. It wasn't a one-winged angel. It wasn't a finisher or anything. Wonderful, wonderful match. I cried. It's safe to say that I cried. I cried during Fletcher and Ospreay as well, but... Man, an all-time wonderful AEW the pay-per-view. Up there with one of the best. Even though the ending was weird as fuck. Yes.
Technically, there's only two people who have kicked out of the one weekend angel. Do you know who they are?
Ibushi. Oh, Kenny's one of them.
And Kenny.
And Kenny, yes. Kenny is one of them and Ibushi. Because did Hangman deliver the one winning?
Not that I know of. The one that I saw, though, it looked like it was Will Ospreay that hit him with it.
Oh no, did Hangman deliver the one winged angel to Matt Jackson
I can't tell you, I don't remember.
during that revolution, that initial revolution tag match? It doesn't matter. Yeah, Kenny is the one of the people who kick out of that move. Oh yes, wonderful, wonderful, amazing pay-per-view. I already highlighted it as, a great pay-per-view in my notes. So we will be talking about this at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. Yes.
So going into Dynamite, they announced that there is going to be a tournament to face Kenny Omega. Now, they pretty much just did one of those to face Kenny Omega at Revolution. My God, that is just, don't get me wrong. This is what they should have done in the first place. I just think that's lazy booking. Like, tournaments is just lazy booking, is what it comes down to. It
Well,
is.
they didn't. Well, they. It wasn't a tournament to face Kenny Omega. It was just, Takeshita versus Orange Cassidy.
Well, it's, I mean, but there was another match before that, too. There was, because didn't Kenny have to. I swear to God, like, Cassidy had to beat somebody and Takeshita had to beat somebody before they met.
Well, Takeshita was the champion back
I
then,
know,
so.
but that's what I'm saying. Like I that's that was what was driving me nuts is he was the champion. So why do the yeah, Orange versus Roderick Strong. That
Yes,
was like
Orange
the first
versus.
match and then I think Takeshita. Oh, that's right. One of those two then had to face Takeshita and then after that. So technically I look at that as a damn tournament. Anyways,
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I will, if this is a way in which they make the title important, I'm gonna take it, man.
okay. It was Cassidy versus Roddy to face Takeshita, then Orange versus Takeshita with the winner facing Kenny. My thing
Yeah.
is, yeah, my thing is that's fine. I just don't like them doing that back to back. That's all. I just think it's just, I think it's weird as hell.
And then they're
That's
gonna,
all.
what's gonna follow is that we're gonna have the Owen Hart tournament afterwards.
Correct.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but if this is what needs to happen for wrestling matches to have stakes, I'm not gonna say no to that. I understand where you're coming from, and you're absolutely correct, but I'm still okay with that. As I'm
Basically,
professionally putting on
yeah. Well, basically, what you're
my
saying
ball.
is, when it comes to storyline, they're just making the
No, no.
sacrifice, 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 sacrifice. Hey, you said it, not me.
I most certainly did not. Let's talk about a Cooper fact, and then we're gonna touch on.
You know, like what this tournament like thing reminds me of? You know what it reminds me of? This. That's what it
Isn't
reminds me
this
of.
the video that always gets us demonetized?
Probably. Oh
Okay.
well, shit happens. If they got to delete it because
Yeah, they might as well delete it.
yeah.
Just a wonderful, wonderful mention. We did mention that Chris Mueller is going to drop an interview with Mike Bailey later on this week or next week, whatever he decides to. So Speedball was the wild card in this specific tournament that Rob was bitching about. So I adore this. He beat
Was it Hitchcock or
no
great
Beast Mortos. Beast
Beast
Mortos.
Mortos?
I always want to say Black Taurus, and this was a wonderful first opponent for Speedball because they used to wrestle a lot at Impact. Mm-hmm. And yep. that's a wonderful thing. So Speedball, of course, won his debut. He's wonderful. And I can't wait to see what Mike Bailey looks like in AEW. What I hope to see soon is Vader Scott on that commentary table. That is what I want. And I still wonder what they do with Josh Alexander. For me, he will always be a wonderful fit in the Death Riders. But what I think they're going to do is end the Death Riders soon. I do feel like that's where they're going with. Because the Death Riders began as this wonderful, amazing thing. They choked out Bryan Danielson with a bag on his head. And they somehow flopped this. It's the same with the devil thing with Adam Cole. Mm-hmm. It was practically a gold mine, and somehow they still ruined it. I have no idea how this happened. It's probably something that makes all the sense in the world because I'm just not that creative, I cannot put my finger on it. Maybe it's the title being in the briefcase. Maybe it's the fact that I view Jon Moxley as this animal person, and somehow he always needs the Death Riders to do anything. So I don't know. It's probably a combination of a lot of things, but somehow it's flopped. I do hope we get to see Wardlow back soon. Hi, Ward Daddy. Hi. I hope to God he returns and everything makes sense on his booking, because God knows none of his booking has made sense in AEW, and I'm starting to be a little pissed off because somehow people keep forgetting that Wardlow is a wonderful wrestler. Not perfect, but wonderful for his size. Wonderful for his size. I don't usually like big wrestlers. But but somehow Wardlow is always the exception to the rule. I'm starting to be blushing a bit. So yeah, can we do a couple of facts, please?
Yeah. Well, this one too. Hold on.
Hi guys.
Okay, now it's Cooper Effect time.
Hi. So this is a wonderful one, guys. A Swiss man has his lucky stars, and the Polish police thank after they managed to foil a kidnapping plot against his two dogs. So the story comes from a Polish town where a former municipal councilman from a suburb in Zurich fell into an elaborate theft and extortion campaign at the hands of a Polish man and a Norwegian. So seduced by the Norwegian, whose name for statement purposes hasn't been released. So instead they had his two dogs, Blanca dogs stolen before facing a ransom demand for 1 million Swiss francs. So I don't know if you guys realize this, but that's a lot of money. So what the owner wanted to do was he demanded a photo of the dogs before before he delivers the money. But they said that what he's gonna get is It's two dogs' heads in the mail, and that's awful, man. You should never say that to, you know, a dog owner. Please never say that. So the ransom did drop a bit after, you know, some negotiations, and they did send the photo of the dogs in a certain wood, in certain woods. And the Polish the police did manage to find where that specific place in the woods was, and they barged into the cabin and they rescued the dogs, and they cuffed the assholes that kidnapped the two dogs, and the owner was once again reunited with his stolen dogs. That's low. That's the lowest of low. Like, kidnapping someone's dogs for ransom and then threatening to, you know, yeah, send the owner their heads in the mail is an all-time low. Listen, those dogs have no idea how to defend themselves. Those are the cutest dogs ever. And Rob, what were you
about? I'm just saying, like, if they got what was... what they threatened to do, it wouldn't bother me if they got rid of them with the same way. I'm talking about the guys. That's just how, you know, how I feel about animals. So,
yes, we all love animals here. That's what the Cooper Effect is. And serious jail time for anyone.
Did you hear, like, this part of the story? I don't know if you heard about this. When he went to the ATM to get money, this is what happened.
I was so sure. You know, I have no idea. How is this not the cat skydiving from last week's story? How's that not a thing?
Yeah. No, I don't know. Sorry. I'm just going with the cat because that usually pops. Thank you.
It does. Yeah.
What you got next here?
Raw. So, okay. So previously, so whatever happened at Elimination Chamber. Jade attacked Naomi because, you know, she said nothing. She just attacked her. Then there was the speculation online that Bianca was in on it and everything. And which, granted, still may be the case, but Naomi cleared the air and she said that she did it for her. I did it for Bianca. Yeah. I did it for Bianca. And that she said that Jay was piggybacking off of her success. She was pulling her back, and Naomi got to the sideline while she was backing her all the way. This was incredibly emotional, and that's the female emotion in this entire segment was so powerful that I teared up a bit. Because Bianca felt so incredibly betrayed by everything that Naomi did. And she didn't hold back. She was crying. I mean, she didn't have the microphone on her mouth. And people could still hear her crying. And then we got Jade come out. Even previously, when Bianca mentioned to Naomi that they were done. And Naomi called her let me get this right. I wanna get this right.
She called her
ungrateful bitch.
Who the hell told you tonight was open mic night, bitch?
So she called her an ungrateful bitch, and she wished that she hit Jade harder and sooner. So Jade came out, and she continued killing her. So this, I just wanted to mention this because the feminine urge to cry with Bianca and Naomi was legitimate. I wouldn't mind more of these segments because it just shows that people are people. I would not mind because this is feminine friendship and drama, and we don't get to see that a lot in like that side of feminine friendship. We don't get to see that. I mean, I know that we get a lot of wrestling weddings and shootings in wrestling weddings and people getting killed over at Impact. But
oh, gotcha. I was like, I forgot. I totally forgot about that. I was like, what?
Yeah, I will never forget this segment. It was so cool. Like, people getting murdered during weddings.
People are,
yes. And Dexter Lumis saying a word for the first time of his, in his life, you know, in the very last episode of NXT 2.0. That was so good. Yeah, so again, more of this feminine energy in wrestling. For me, at least. I don't know if people liked it. I loved that segment. It was incredibly human. And please, give me.
Did you know that Bianca had a... There was an extended WWE.com cut of the Bianca and Naomi? Did you see that?
I guess that means you need to shut the fuck up. That's what I do. I would fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I don't know why Dave Chappelle was there, but it happened.
Yeah, I have no idea. So, did you like this segment?
Yeah, it was really good. It was really well done. Like, I love the emotion that they showed. You know, like, that's what did it for me. Like, the emotion, they made it look like it was an acting. That's how good it was. And that's really all you can say. And like it was reported, I believe by us, Fightful Select, that they got a round of applause because it was damn good, you know? Like, it was real damn good. And there's no way you can rehearse what they did, in my opinion.
No way.
I mean, that was how good it was. I am very, very curious to see how this plays out, because I still think Bianca has something to do with it. I just do, because that's how good this has been.
Again, that's what I said. This we still have reasons to think that, but yeah.
Yeah. So, but it was good. It was a good segment. I wasn't expecting it to be Naomi at all. Like, to be the one that said that she did it.
Because it's logical?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's why. Yeah, because it was logical. I wasn't expecting them to actually go that route, but they did. So, oh well, not like it's a big issue. I mean, they went the logical route, so.
They don't usually do that. Because...
Yeah, I know. Like, what the hell's happening over here? Yeah. So. I like seeing... I love seeing AJ get the better of your guy Logan Paul, so that was good.
Stop saying that. Stop it.
Yeah, so I think we're getting a... I mean, it's still early, but I'm thinking we might be getting a Logan Paul versus AJ match at Mania, which I would take.
Yes, only if AJ Styles beats the crap out of Logan Paul. Yeah, please,
I would want AJ to go over for sure.
Probably the only instance in which the older wrestler needs to beat the crap out of the younger wrestler. Please.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, other than that, it was a decent... I know a lot of people didn't like the show for some reason. I thought it was...
Okay, stop. We had Seth and Roman. Seth and Punk in the steel cage match. We need to talk about this. Do you like the match?
I did.
Before the ending.
I liked the ending. I liked the ending. I liked the whole show, but I liked the match. I liked the ending. I thought it was good. They kicked out of each other's moves, I don't know how many times, but I liked it. I thought it was good. It added good drama. And we always like drama in the LBC, so You know, I thought it was good. I was shocked that they did the suplex like from the top. Like, CM Punk, I'm shocked. You know, that was like, damn. It's like, okay. But it was a good match. And
It was a perfectly decent match.
yeah, I enjoyed it.
Perfectly
Though
decent
this
match.
they might not get along, but they can work together really good.
Yes. I would like to think that if this happened in Seth Rollins's earlier career, he wouldn't have handled it so well. But because like he grew as a, you know, mentally, emotionally, he grew. And that's why he also saw how things were handled over at the AEW side of, you know, the drama with Punk. And he didn't want to do that because what we saw from Seth Rollins was him for years defending the company. And people found that incredibly annoying. Well, the thing is, he was just protecting the thing that he loves. I'm not defending anyone. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. He's just, you know, trying his hardest to be a professional. What I want to erase from my entire memory is his online altercation with Will Ospreay. That was not okay. That was
Well, I mean, he
completely
did
want to
apologize
erase.
for that, so.
Oh yeah, sure. But like the thing is that this happened in a time when Becky Lynch was such an amazing online troll. If you guys remember, she was delivering receipts to each and everyone that doubted her. Again, this was during that time, and Seth Rollins wanted to back himself up too, as good as Becky Lynch was doing it. It didn't work out so great, but that's it. And like the dude was perfectly fine in that apology and everything. You, guys, you all know I'm a Seth Rollins girl. I feel like I'll always be a Seth girl, and I will defend him all the way. The match was wonderful. The thing is, I watched this match 24 hours after I watched AEW Revolution, and I was still buzzing so much from that entire show that Raw suffered from that. If this was any other Raw at any other day, I would have loved the show, but because it came after Revolution, I couldn't quite get into it, but the cage match was great. What happened was both Seth Rollins and CM Punk did that later too. So Seth Rollins opened up the cage door and he was like, "You're free to go. You can go out and you'll win the match. You can go if you want." And then Punk flipped him off. The same happened the other way around later on. They kicked out of each other's moves, and I like consistently, and that kind of just a little bit. This I'm nitpicking here, but this kind of pissed me off because it wasn't, you know, a ridiculously good sequence and in-ring psychology and everything. They just delivered each other's moves and they kicked out of it. And I'm not quite a fan of people kicking out of wrestling moves because I'm a fan of protecting finishers. And because we went through a time when Cena was you know, was around a lot and he was a baby face and everything, and everyone kicked out of an AA. Everyone. They did the same thing with Cody Rhodes up to the point when if you get pinned by a single crossroads, you're just a loser man. And this exactly happened. Everyone was kicking out of the crossroads, and that pisses me off. Again, we touched upon this when we were talking about the One Winged Angel when it comes to Kenny Omega. Two people have ever kicked out of that move, and he was one of them because it's his own move. and I can get past that. So I feel like we need to make protecting finishers cool again. This is me nitpicking for the cage match, but I wish we would bring that back. So what happened later on was the crowd was starting to go insane, and I immediately knew what was about to happen because the crowd has a specific insanery when it comes to Roman Reigns, specifically talking about the women shouting in the audience. So Roman Reigns returned, and he pulled Seth Rollins from the cage immediately. This meant that Seth Rollins won the match. So Roman Reigns started to murder the guy. And then he was, you know, celebrating and everything from him, you know, beating the crap out of Seth Rollins. And then he turned to the ring and the cage was still there. And they showed Paul Heyman consoling CM Punk in the ring. So this made Roman Reigns incredibly mad. So he returned and beat the crap out of CM Punk too. So it's safe to say the only reason why this isn't a Paul Heyman or a Paul match is because Seth Rollins is going to be a part of this match. So because it's going to be a three-way, it's going to be a no disqualification match. So they will tear each other apart. I cannot wait for this. I cannot wait for the Roman Reigns and CM Punk back and forth promos. Please give me that. Seth Rollins despises the crap out of them both. And if CM Punk is CM Punk enough, he will bring up Jon Moxley. And like if they give that to him and he was like, hey, where's the third person? I cannot wait for this. Are you as excited as I am about this? Because I feel like this is the WrestleMania match I'm most looking forward to, and it hasn't even been made official yet, but we all know.
Well, of course, I'm definitely excited for this and what it could lead to. I mean, I think it's going to lead to night one main event, but I do think the promos are going to be fantastic. The way they set it up is good because the way they had Roman just run in and do it was the way to go. I know some people wanted them to play the music, but I think the way they did it was perfect. So that's the way I feel, but I have no issue with it, and I think it's gonna be great.
Yes,
I think the storyline is gonna be good stuff, pal. And I want to see what they do, and we'll have to go from there.
Yes.
Most who do you think? Let's just say hypothetically, or because it's not official yet, but let's say they do have a feud, and they do face each other at Mania. What is your early prediction? Who wins?
Oh, CM Punk.
Okay.
Yeah. And the stupid thing is, I think CM Punk will pin Seth Rollins. I do not, if they give CM Punk the win over Roman Reigns, I'm going to flip out. What can be done was, I cannot underline this enough. Roman Reigns still has never beaten Seth Rollins. Well, not ever, but like during his title run, he never beat Seth Rollins. He got disqualified, and that's how he retained his title. Was it Royal Rumble? No, it wasn't Royal. I don't know when did he face Seth Rollins for the championship? Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins for the championship. Where did they meet? Rumble?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was the Rumble.
I feel like it was
the Rumble. I think it was the Rumble.
So Roman Reigns never won that match. He got disqualified. He didn't pin Seth. So there's a storyline there too with that. Of course, there's always the Rock lingering because what the hell is, how will they get to that confrontation? Because they will confront each other at some point. And you gotta wonder what that is. So a lot of doors remain opened, and there's a chance we're surprised at the end. But I do feel like CM Punk will win. What do you think? Who?
Yeah, I think CM Punk wins as well because I think they would go into a short feud with him and John Cena. I think that would be a feud because
For the
I
title,
think,
right?
yeah, because I think SummerSlam will see a rematch between, this is just early, obviously, predictions, but I think we'll see Cena versus Rhodes at SummerSlam is what I think we'll get.
So, who do you think retires Cena?
Oh God, I don't know. Man, that's a tough question. I don't know.
See, if they want to build stars, might as well go with Braun Breaker. If you ask me, it has to be Obafemi. Because Obafemi should, kill everyone. Man, that win over Moose was something else. He pressed the guy off the ring. Oh my God, that was so good. An amazing episode of NXT too. So Stephanie Vaquer beat Julia, and she's the champ now. Really good. Really good.
Yeah, that was NXT was that was like a pay-per-view. Like, I mean, that's how good that show was. It was
It's
damn
been,
good.
well, NXT Roadblock was a pay-per-view initially, so
Yeah. I mean, it was damn good. Yeah, I thought it was a good show. I liked the match. It was good. Stephanie Vaquer winning.
the cat.
Yeah, I like that. I like Julia, don't get me wrong. I'm a big Julia fan too. I don't know if the rumors are true, if she's hurt or not, but I was a big fan of her winning the match. Just
Absolutely.
overall it was just a good show. Something that just kind of came out here a minute ago is Becky Lynch made an appearance at a show in Mexico.
Excuse me.
International. Yeah, there she is right there. It was International Wrestling Revolution Group, IWRG. She just showed up. I don't know.
How awesome she is, man.
Yeah. But
I love you, Becky. I know you're watching.
very interesting.
Interesting, yes.
Wonder what that's about. We'll have to find out.
Well, she doesn't have a contract, so.
Yeah, I know. It's probably just one of those things where just gets paid a shit ton just to show up for a second type thing.
That's it. Becky to AEW.
Yeah, that did
Yeah,
it.
that's it. That did it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, yeah, that's really all I got. The WWE announced that they're going to St. Louis for WWE Backlash in May. Tickets go on sale next.
WrestleMania or WrestleMania Backlash?
Yeah, no, they don't have the WrestleMania name in there
Yes,
this time.
hopefully for a second year
Yeah.
in a row. Just
Yeah.
let's not do that.
But yeah, so we'll see. That's going to be in May. And that's about it. That's all I got. Maggie, you
Yes.
want to plug your shit?
Yes, thank you. Guys, you can follow me on X, Twitter, or whatever at Maggie underscore IK and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. You can also follow me on Blue Sky at Maggie dash IK. I will never get used to saying that. Also, guys, let me just remind you, I'm on the True Heel Heat channel every time there's a WWE Premium Live event doing pre-shows with SP3. I have a ton of fun. Rob was reviewed Raw this past week with SP3. A ton of fun. We adore the guy. We honestly do. A reminder, please subscribe to Fightful Select. Again, easiest $6 you're ever going to spend on wrestling news. And a reminder, please leave a like on the video. And after you've done watching the video, please leave a comment below. It helps us a lot with the horrible, horrible YouTube algorithm that absolutely hates us. It's as if he's a part of Twitter.
Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I finally got back into my Instagram account at Fightful Rob. I'm also on Threads at Fightful Rob. And I also want you guys to meet this pig here. His name is Chris P. Bacon. man. I love it. Chris P. Bacon. Hell of a name.
Is this the first time you've seen this photo?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I love it. That's awesome. Crispy.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. Crispy bacon.
But guys, we want to say thank you very much for tuning in. We will see you guys next week. Enjoy SmackDown if you watch it tonight. Enjoy TNA Sacrifice if you watch that tonight. Maggie, do you think Cora Jade will beat Masha Slamovich for the title?
Oh, hell no. I don't either.
But I just wanted to ask. Guys, we appreciate you.
I hope Masha doesn't kill her.
Yeah, I know. Me too. But guys, we do appreciate you so much for tuning in today, and we hope you have a great weekend, and we will see you next week for another episode of Coexisting. So see you later.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. You can check out all our previous episodes on your favorite podcast platforms or youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.